Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 on Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, also present are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. My opening comments are one is storm related. Of course, everyone be safe out there. But we also have a 1 o'clock formal hearing, formal hearing this afternoon related to rulemaking. And I'd like to add that to the admin discussion just to make sure that people that may have traveled or wanted to participate will still have the opportunity to do so. I just want to make sure we've got all our bases covered, so I don't know if we extend the time for that or exactly what we do, but we'll have legal counsel in and we can run through that real quick with them just to make sure everyone is heard. And then also, congratulations.
1:30.
I have 1:30, yes, 1:30. That's correct. And then also, I want to congratulate the Bison Men basketball team. They're going to the big dance. So they had a nice win last night, and so congrats to them. That's exciting. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
I do not have any opening comments.
Nor do I, sir.
We have 9 items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I have 4 items on regular agenda. The first, I move the commission adopt the order amending order on settlement in Otter Tail Power Company 2017 electric rate increase application case number PU-17-398.
Second.
This dates back to the rate case that was initiated actually November 2nd, 2017. There was a settlement in that case this past September, and the settlement as a part of that indicated that it would be for electric service rendered on or after January 1st, 2019, and that interim rates would be in effect from January 1st, 2018 through the end of 2018, December 31st, 2018. So Otter Tail had a new billing system that they were implementing, and it was in place, but they wanted to do just one more round of final testing to ensure that it was operating at 100%. So they came in on January 23rd, or alerted us actually on December 26th that they could not implement the approved rates on January 1st out of concern for the billing system, or concerns surrounding the billing system. And then we move forward with a notice of intent to amend the order and also a notice of opportunity for hearing. That was on January 23rd, 2019. And we did not receive any comments on that notice of opportunity for hearing. So on March 8th, advocacy staff filed a response and believes it's appropriate to extend or to modify the order to allow the new rates to be effective for service rendered on or after February 1st, 2019. That has already occurred. So this is really more procedural, but we do need to amend the motion because the verbiage wasn't exactly correct. It stated January 1st instead of February 1st.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I move the commission adopt the order on transmission facility cost recovery rates in Northern States Power Company. Transmission facility cost recovery 2019 rates. Case number PU-18-364.
Second.
I will make a note just in the event that the new order hasn't circled around. There was one small typo in the second paragraph that stated 2017. That's been corrected to 2018. But this goes started October 5th, 2018. NSP filed an application for approval of its 2019 transmission cost recovery rider rate And again, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on this. That was on November 8th, 2018, and no response related to that was received. On November 27th, 2018, NSP filed a correction to its application, revising the 2019 transmission cost recovery revenue requirements and the proposed TCR rate accordingly. We had a informal hearing at the beginning of February with NSP to discuss the matter, and it was approved. The TCR rider was first approved, I should say, by the commission order on February 26th, and that goes back to 2014 under North Dakota Century Code. So this is, I believe, what, the fifth round of this, and the annual update in this instance includes 10 new or modified transmission projects that are currently not in rate base. So the nine-month April through December of 2019 revenue requirement is $3.1 million, just over $3.1 million, and the impact to an average residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours per month will be a decrease of approximately $1.44 per month. So this is going down. Some of the assets that were being tracked have come off, and it's resulted in a overall, and a few new ones actually have come on, but overall it equates to a $1.44 decrease.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission reduce the filing fee to $10,000, suspend the tariff and rates, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Tariff and Rates, case number PU-19-91.
Second.
Okay, on March 1st, 2019, Otter Tail Power Company filed a change in its generation resource recovery rate, tariff, and an initial generation cost resource recovery rate. To recover actual and forecasted costs through June 2020 for the Astoria Station Natural Gas Plant Project, Otter Tail Power proposes to recover approximately $2.7 million during the recovery period of July 1st, 2019 through June of 2020. The impact of the rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month is approximately $196 per month. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by April 26, 2019. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol in Bismarck at 701-328-2400. And I believe that covers the order. Just a few notes on this. This is related to the Astoria gas plant. This is a part of the Hoot Lake coal generating plant replacement, which is anticipated to be retired in 2021. That's a 140-megawatt facility. The Astoria gas plant is a 250-megawatt facility, and it's being paired with the Maricourt Wind Project by Edgely, which is a 150-megawatt facility. So both of those, and in this case we're talking about Astoria, is expected to be in commercial operation in 2021. And again, Hoot Lake, that would be for units 2 and 3.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no, nay. Motion is approved.
Excuse me. I think it's definitely going around the office. We all have coughs, sore throats, and Well, Randy, actually, sound like you're doing okay. So.
So far, so good. But
knock on wood. But we'll get through this. Okay, my last item, I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, Renewable Resource Cost Recovery, Tariff and Rates, case number PU-18-381.
Second.
Okay, this actually dates back a little more than 4 months. On November 2nd, 2018, MDU filed an application for approval of an annual update to its Renewable Resource Cost Adjustment Rate, 55, and on November 20th, 2018 as well, we issued, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, and as a result of that, no response was received. We had an informal with the company on February 13th, 2019, and had a discussion with the company at that point in time, and the discussion surrounded on a couple of items, actually. The first is that the rate changes include updated costs related to MDU's investment in the Thunder Spirit Wind Project, the Cedar Hills Wind Project, and the Diamond Willow Wind Project. The updated rates also reflect a projected under-recovered balance of current RRCA rates. MDU states that the effect on a typical bill for the rate change that's being proposed for a customer using 894 kilowatt hours per month would be an increase of $1.52 per month based on the proposed rates. And one thing, you know, for those listening, I think I cited, I've cited 894 kilowatts in this case. I cited 1,000 kilowatts, I believe it was in MDU's case. And then there's another model that uses 750 for yet a different utility. And they all have slightly different averages that they use. So these numbers can move around a little bit. But this is based on an 894 kilowatt hour per month customer. We had three different informal hearings on February 13th. The first was their transmission cost adjustment rider, which we approved during the last meeting, the last commission meeting. That decreased costs for transmission by 69 cents a month. We also, on February 13th, had an informal on their generation resource rider, and that decreased costs by 57 cents per month. And for a total with those for those two of $1.26 in terms of a decrease. Again, this increase would be $1.52, but collectively, when you take the three into account, even though they're different cases, the average impact to a customer's bill will be 26 cents a month, so a slight increase. But in case individuals are wondering collectively what does it mean in their utility bill, the net impact for the average customer is 26 cents. So the other part, and I would anticipate a little more discussion on this, is, you know, just looking at how production tax credits are applied and how they impact customer rates. And, you know, this has been going on for as long as PTCs PTC-related projects have been approved by the commission or incorporated into a utilities, investor-owned utilities rates. So I think it's good to take a look at how they're spread out and the timeline and trying to create an appropriate balance, which will certainly be the case as we have this order in front of the commission now. But pending the decision on this, we will continue to investigate and take a look at is there a better way of doing it in the future and making sure that customers at the same time are getting the energy savings that are tied to these projects. So I do think this is a good way to go about this in terms of getting this approved, because the under-collected balance will continue to grow, and then we just have to be diligent in following through on reviewing and determining if any changes in how PTCs are applied in the future are handled.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do. I appreciate the discussion yesterday, and you know, I don't want to make this sound like I don't think that my fellow commissioners are taking it seriously, because I know they are. But we're facing an unpleasant situation that is becoming more and more pleasant all the time. And I just feel like some of our companies have a lot of incentive to kick the can down the road. And so they do. And for a comparison, because I'm so disappointed that the country here is doing, it seems to me, about the same thing with the electric industry that many entities have done with pension funds over the years. It's easy to be generous now with plans that will catch up later. 1 year leads to another, and it becomes impossible to catch up. In the case of pension funds, they face either unacceptable rate increases or unacceptable benefit cuts. So they wait, and ultimately they either need a bailout or they collapse on their intended beneficiaries. In the case of the electric industry, they have these subsidies to make the projects appear to be low cost. And then they backload the bulk of the remainder of the payments to ratepayers a decade away. In this case, I want to point out, MDU is projecting nearly a $4 a month increase in just a few years on the average residential electric bill, and 2026 is the year, when just one 107-megawatt wind farm passes its 10-year anniversary. What is going to happen to our cumulative electric bills when all these mini projects that are going online reach the end of their PTCs if we keep backloading the costs for these? For their entire wind, and I'm referring to MDU now again, for their entire wind package as it stands today, they plan to collect more recovery in 2040 when service from these facilities is actually questionable at that age, than they plan to collect in 2020 from ratepayers. In a normal world, payments on these facilities should be declining as they depreciate, not increasing. Every year, every month that this system continues, the rate shock involved with fixing this intergenerational inequity grows. We're constrained in what we can really do here, because denial of the order for even this $1.52 a month increase in this renewable rider would kick that much further down the road too, and make the problems in the future even worse. So I'm going to be supporting this, but the fact of the matter is we're just not absorbing enough of the costs for these up front as a more traditional recovery system on other projects would require. And I hope somehow we're able to figure out a better way in the future.
May I, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Couple thoughts on that. First of all, I definitely appreciate the focus that Commissioner Christman has put on this and elevating it to the commission's attention. And I think it's a legitimate concern, and I think the commission has a good path forward for dealing with it. We aren't kicking it down indefinitely, but the reality is to do something significant right now with this current filing could have had some significant implications for existing customers in terms of a rate shock, and we just didn't have enough information. I didn't, to make that kind of a decision right now. I need to know what those are and what the options are for mitigating them and making them more reasonable over time. So it's a big issue. There's a lot to consider, and I think we've laid out a path with MDU for getting that information over the course of the next 6 to 8 months so that we can really come up with the best case for moving forward. And part of my hesitancy also relates to the fact that the commission, not us, but previous commissioners and staff, did think through this early on to set the existing policy and felt very comfortable with what we're doing now. So it isn't as if this was a quick decision or wasn't thought through by some really smart people who understand rate making. That existing precedent was decided upon because of a lot of thought and or after a lot of thought. And so I think that that doesn't bode making a kind of a what I view as kind of a rash decision right now when this was held over after months of sitting on the agenda, held over from the last commission meeting. So I think we need to take a more thoughtful approach, and I think we have that well laid out. On a second note, though, what I wanted to talk about as it relates to this is this whole notion that customers get an increase for renewable resources when over and over and over again they're told in the public that renewables save money. So, well, if that's the case, then why is my renewable resource rider on my bill going up? That doesn't make sense to people. And it hasn't made sense to me over the years either, except after long conversations with the utilities that we regulate. And the answer to that is really twofold. First of all, you cannot just look at one line on the bill. If you just look at the renewable resource rider, that covers the cost of the capital investment, the actual wind farms. And that is going to grow because they're new. So you're going to have to pay for those. That's in that component. The part that goes down is the fuel cost rider because you're using less fuel because wind generation doesn't use fuel. So that the cost on a bill for customers on the fuel line will go down the more renewables are used. So those two in balance over the course of the year, course of the project, say 30 years, that's where the cost savings comes from. And those cost savings, as we look at them in models before we ever approve these, they're significant in multi-millions of dollars. So that's, it's not just a simple, you know, the bills go down, the bills go, you know, your bills are going to be shrinking. The second piece is that renewables are more cost-effective in the marketplace depending on what kind of resource is needed. If it's an energy resource, they're some of the lowest cost today. If it's a capacity resource, they aren't applicable. You have to get something that is dispatchable, like a gas plant or a coal-fired facility or nuclear. But depending on what kind of resource a utility needs, the utility looks at those as and evaluates their costs, and we go through this with them. And so as compared to other costs depending or other resources, depending on what sorts of needs you're trying to fill, renewables have been showing up as the lowest cost. So that is not to say that the bills are automatically going to go down. What the company is saying is we have to change something here. We need more resources. So in the whole mix of resources, this is the lowest cost resource, so your bill will be going up less than it would be if we were doing something else. So it's really that twofold comparison. One, you have to compare it to the cost of the capital asset plus the fuel reduction, and then you have to recognize that sometimes they're just adding resources. And so your bill is going to go up no matter what. What we look at is how can we keep the bills from going up the least, keep them from going up the least, and what resources are available to that. And when we choose a renewable resource for that, it's because it was proven in the modeling to be the lowest cost resource.
Do you have something to add, Commissioner Christmas?
No, I was done.
Oh, I'll just close by making one point, and that is that this isn't something that the company MDU slowed in terms of taking a look at this. You know, in fairness to them, I believe it was requested during the informal hearing, and they did produce some numbers and some different types of modeling. Staff actually ran one particular type of model as well in terms of trying to create a better balance in how the PTCs are applied. One was a small degree of erosion in terms of the savings, the energy savings customers would experience. Another model that, we don't have a graph up, but that seemed to balance it out the best resulted in a significant erosion in savings in one project in particular, $3.4 million, which is significant to ratepayers. So it's important that we're thoughtful, that we're deliberate in terms of how we look at this. And this isn't just for this particular set of circumstances in this particular case. This is something that whether it's a wind resource or whether it's we have a utility that's looking at retiring a coal plant, and as we look at the depreciation in terms of what's remaining, how that can impact ratepayers, it really becomes a question of which generation of ratepayer picks up what portion of the cost as resources are added and resources are eliminated. So being thoughtful and deliberate, which I know we will be, and being diligent as well and making sure that we get this done is incredibly important.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my items. Commissioner Christman.
Move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in General Mills Operations LLC, facility-based grain buyer, Northgate, North Dakota. Discontinue business, case number GE-19-89.
Second.
On February 21st, we received a request to discontinue business from General Mills for their grain warehouse at Northgate. General Mills sold the facility to Viterra LLC, effective March 1st of 2019. General Mills does not operate any other facilities in North Dakota. Viterra applied for a grain warehouse license for the Northgate facility and will be assuming the grain inventory. There are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts here involved here. Viterra also operates facilities in Grand Forks, Minot, and Ray, totaling over 3.2 million bushels. Statutory requirements have been met as of March 1st for General Mills to request to discontinue business and for Viterra's license application and assumption of liabilities for this facility located at Northgate. Staff recommends the request to discontinue business be approved effective March 1st. And I will point out I did sign a temporary discontinuance effective March 1st. This would give the complete commission approval.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And next I move the commission approve collateral bond number LC-GRGR-0501-04 in the amount of $170,102 covering surface coal mining permit number GRGR-0501 held by Leonardite Products, LLC, for the Stony Creek Mine.
Second.
So Stony Creek, the permit is currently covered by a collateral bond in the amount of $281,359. And that is supported by an irrevocable letter of credit issued by the First National Bank and Trust of Williston. So our Reclamation Division received notice on January 28th that First National did not intend to renew the letter of credit when it expires on April 2nd. On March 8th, Leonardite Products filed a replacement bond as allowed by administrative rules. This replacement collateral bond in the amount of $170,102, so about $111,000 less, is backed by an irrevocable letter of credit issued by BNC National Bank of Bismarck, North Dakota. The new bond amount is less than the current bond amount because bond release number one to this permit was approved on February 6th and allowed for monetary release of the $111,257, effective March 8th. The worst-case reclamation cost estimate for the 96 acres that are remaining in the permit after that bond release number one is $170,102, the amount of their new bond. So the required financial statement was provided by BNC Corp. Incorporated, and that's the parent company of BNC National Bank. They're well qualified based on the letter of credit provisions and in our rules. The bond documents have been reviewed by staff and have been properly executed.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you. And I don't believe we have anything else on. Okay, hopefully that's the last time on regular agenda. Do you have a few announcements today? And I think I stated it incorrectly, but Commissioner Fedorchuk caught it. Today the formal hearing is at 1:30. Of course, we all know about the pending winter storm unless the forecast model has changed in the last 33 minutes, which I would not be opposed to. But we'll talk about making sure that we keep the lines of communication open in the event anyone has travel concerns. On Friday, weather permitting, so we'll have to see how things shape up. But we have a 10 o'clock information exchange meeting with Otter Tail Power, and then next Wednesday, or no, not next Wednesday, Wednesday, March 20th, I guess it would be next Wednesday, we have a formal, or no, this is a reminder that the formal hearing was canceled. I'm going to get this right yet. And that was with Northern States Power. That was the tax reform effects. That was settled. So just again, a reminder that that has been canceled. And then our next regularly scheduled commission meeting is Wednesday, March 27th at 10 a.m. here at the Capitol in Bismarck. And one other, just looking a little further out, on Wednesday, April 3rd, 9 o'clock in Watford City, we do have a formal hearing for One Oak Bakken Pipeline, which starts at, again, 9 o'clock at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
What time did you say the periodic information exchange with Otter Tail Power is this coming Friday?
It shows that it is at 10 o'clock.
I think we moved that.
One.
I think you are right. Let me.
Correct.
So that was printed maybe
yeah,
too soon.
So I'm thinking.
Okay, that is at 1 o'clock. Good catch. So that's 1 o'clock on Friday, and hopefully we're done with the bad weather by then. So that concludes the announcements. We'll now take a brief recess to take questions from the press.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might ask to, yes. After the recess for questions for the press, can we move straight into admin without a break?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I like that. So we'll take a short break, and then after those questions conclude, we will go straight into the admin portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.
I had a quick question for clarification of the Otter Tail Power Company. By 2021, the natural gas is going to possibly wind farms, correct? Well, the wind farm is going right now, right?
Right, the Maricourt wind farm. Or,
yeah, Maricourt. Mm-hmm. Does that close down Hoot Lake as far as a coal-fired plant then?
Yes. Hoot Lake will be, there won't be any addition, or any, the units will all be shut down then, and it'll be officially retired. No additional generation past that point.
Do you know what their resource mix is now, or will be after that?
I could get that to you, what they anticipate.